Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you got Rock Splitting Politics. Doc Holliday here. I'm your host. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and we're glad to have you. We got new listeners from around the country. We've been getting emails from you, been talking to us, and we're glad to have new listeners in a new year. 2013 is here, and we told you we're going to be looking for solutions. So today's show, we're looking for solutions. We're talking to someone who I said we need to hear from. And who is that? It's the young people. So we're starting off a new year with the voices of some exciting young people. And we're going to just wait and let you hear what Benji Backer has to say. And if you heard anything, there's a website called www.turningpointusa.net. And you can find out what young people in high school and even middle school and throughout colleges and universities around the country, a new movement is starting, and it's not a Democratic movement or Republican movement. It's a movement to stop the spending, and it's coming from our young people. And that's what we're going to be talking about for most of the show. Before we get there, I got a little news clip. I want to talk to you about something from the former mayor of New York City all the way back to Ed Koch. And that's what he had to say is something you think, well, why say it now? So we're going to talk about that. And also this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to the former CEO of AIG. If you remember anything about our fiscal, financial, economic crisis that we're still recovering from because we got the leadership in this administration is just keeping it from reforming and regrouping. But I will tell you about what the former CEO of AIG is doing, and he gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award because of what he's doing. So you want to make sure to listen to that at the end of the show. And in the meantime, let's get this thing cranked up. We're talking about some youth, some enthusiasm. How many people can remember the 1960s? Who hit the airways and transformed our culture? Who got excited? Was young people across America got excited in 1963 over this?
Well, she loves you.
That's right. It was the Beatles that came and took America by storm. That was 1963. She Loves Me, live by the Beatles. And you hear the enthusiasm of the crowd. People were going crazy. The girls were screaming throughout the song. You could barely hear the song in some parts. But that was enthusiasm of the young people. And now some of the same young people, this is the administration, these are the people who are in charge. Can we have a counter-revolution? Well, we're going to be talking with Benji Backer, who will be coming up, and he's a young voice talking about freedom and how this generation of young students in high school and in college and those coming up into high school, what they can do. And you need to listen to this show because this is something that's got to take hold. It's seeds being planted, and we're going to be talking to Benji in just about 4 or 5 minutes. In the meantime, let me tell you about Ed Koch. Now, those you know, he's a liberal, very Democrat, and he was been on to Obama in the past 4 years about Obama's stand toward Israel. But guess what? He still supported Obama in last November for the election, and he got out and supported. And then now with the nomination of Chuck Hagel to be the new defense secretary, it says the former New York Mayor Ed Koch believes President Barack Obama's decision to nominate the former Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense will damage relations between the United States and Israel. I have to tell you, what really bothers me is the fact, yeah, I wish Hagel wasn't nominated. And what's my belief on that, or what's my statement? I don't believe he'll be a strong supporter of Israel. And a lot of senators have come out to stop him, but there won't be enough to stop him. Obama's picked him. There's enough people in the Senate. This is not something that I believe you can even filibuster, even if you could. What we need more than anything is to have the Democrats on record who's supporting this weak hand for Israel. And this is Obama. He's purposely put it out there, and he's heard the criticism, and he's not making Hagel withdraw. So I'm not going to burn bridges over this. I wish that was not the nomination, but you're not going to stop it. And you can do all the hooping and hollering, but the best thing that we can do is make sure we get ready for the elections in 2014. So let there be a vote, and let's see which Democrats come down on the side of a weak leader in our national, in our as Secretary of Defense, as far as support for Israel. And maybe he'll surprise us, but we're not going to stop it. But I did want to tell you what Ed Koch had to say. He said, this is what he said about the nomination. He said, quote, "I believe it will encourage the jihadists. They will say, ah, we are winning the battle. America is beginning to desert Israel." That's what Koch said, as unquote. And Koch said that. And then he went on to say that he doesn't think they'll reject Hagel. And this is the sticking point for me that you need to hear. Koch said he doesn't regret backing Obama since, this is his quote, he was going to win, unquote. And because the Jewish people were going to vote for the incumbent president. Well, you know, you're not going to beat somebody if you for him, even though you don't like his stance. And that's the Democrats. Everybody came out, and we're not going to go crying over spilt milk. The election's done. It's over with. We got to find some solutions to keep this nation together and keep all the wheels from falling off to get through four more years. And that's what we're going to do right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I wanted to bring you up to date about Ed Koch just because of the fact he said he said he thought it'd be a little later for Obama really unloaded on Israel. He's already starting it. And why in the world would you support the president if you know that if you want a strong support for the nation of Israel, why wouldn't you get out there and say, let's defeat this president? Should have done it last year. But that's, and like he said, the Jewish population overwhelmingly, of course, they're supporters of Israel, but overwhelmingly they supported President Barack Obama. Maybe they feel like second time around they can change his mind. You see what, well, how Obama thinks. He nominated Chuck Hagel, former Senator Chuck Hagel, even though he's a Republican. He has not had a strong stance for the nation of Israel. And that's something we need to follow and watch. And talking about that, we were talking about young people. And one of the things that came out of the 60s, there was a cultural shift and change. There was the demographics of the baby boomers coming into their own. And the music changed. The arts changed. And a lot of things changed, starting with the young people. And one of the changes was to the music scene, and what people saw and what they wanted to listen to. And there was some definite music coming out from the young people and what they expressed. Can that happen again? Can we get a new direction in this country? How can you tell the old folks in charge of Congress, stop putting this burden of debt on us? How do you communicate that? And can that make new art? Can that get people excited to have a new movement? We're going to be talking to none other than Benji Backer right here, and he's going to help us explain that. Before we do, let's go back to the 60s one more time, another song, and then we're going to talk to Benji Backer.
You know it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
Benji Backer is on air with us. And the reason we got Benji on the air, because we've been talking about the need for young people to understand the debt and what their generation is burdened with, the burdens we're putting on the generation of our young people. And there's a website called turningpointusa.net. That's where some valuable information is. And Benji's going to tell us a little bit what Turning Point USA is. What's it about, Benji?
Well, I'm the state director here in Wisconsin of Turning Point USA. And the whole point of Turning Point USA is to educate the students of America. We have a problem in America with the youth vote. I believe that, you know, a lot of times our youth vote, actually all the time, our youth vote is too uneducated. Turning Point USA is nonpartisan. They focus on the issues. And we think that if you educate the students of America, your elections will turn out to be the way America needs them to be. So essentially what we think that is, you know, if we educate these students, they'll vote on their educated answers, their educated views and values, then we'll get a more accurate election. Because we have so many uneducated voters out there, and the majority of them are students. And when you put uneducated students out there and you have them vote, a lot of times they'll vote for a candidate that they may not even support, and they just go out there and vote for the name or the looks or, you know, on one or two issues. So our whole goal is to educate the students of America, because, you know, America is an educated country. It's a great country, and with elected representatives that serve well, we need a youth vote that also can vote them in on a great basis.
But, you know, there's a lot of uninformed voters, so it's right. Not just the youth we need to inform, but at the same time, you are kicking off a campaign to help inform the youth, especially the national debt. I know on your website you got the U.S. national debt clock ticking away, and you know right now it's 16. I'm looking at it right now as we're talking. It's 16,442,919,000,000, and it goes on. So unbelievable debt. But you got something on your website I've never seen before. It says the student debt clock, a student's share of the national debt. Now, and it says it's sitting at $823,725. That's for every student. So tell me a little bit about that student debt clock. Do you know much about it?
I do. The student debt clock, it's the first student debt clock ever released, and we're proud to have it on our website because, you know, as students, it's a completely student-run organization. It's great to show horrific number on the student debt clock, the number of, you know, dollars that we would have to pay off our share of the national debt. It's absurd. You know, $823,000 each. You know, that's a number that most Americans probably would not be able to pay off in a lifetime. And right. It's disappointing because as students, we're going to have to work so, so hard in such a tough economy, if it doesn't get better, to pay off this debt that seems to be a problem that the government is not addressing enough, a problem that we're not joining together as parties and agreeing on. You know, we've got such a divide between the parties that I don't know if we are ever going to figure this out. And that's really disappointing to us students that are educated about this issue, because we know how tough it is in the future if we have to pay this off.
Well, that's what you're getting the message across. Now, tell me on that students' share of the national debt, what is that? Does that just mean the college students? That's from grades 1 through college? Or where are you getting the numbers for how much each student owes in America?
I think it's high school and, you know, high school and college. I'm not 100% sure on that. I believe it is, because our group is aimed toward high school and college students. You know, either way, it's, you know, extremely disappointing. Now, it could be between grades, you know, kindergarten through college, and I have no idea.
Well, one of the things, yeah, well, check on that for us, but I have noticed you do have chapters around the country in a lot of the colleges, universities, and some high schools. So what do you say to if somebody's listening to the program and they have a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or one of our young people listening? If they want to get a chapter and find out more about this, how do they get involved, Benji?
Well, we have a great website and a great staff team. Something that I say personally, and I've said this for the last 4 years with my involvement in politics, is that you're never too young to get involved. I've been involved since I was 10, and I encourage people under 10 to get involved. As long as they're not forced and they have enough of a education about the issues, I believe that you can get involved at any age. So I think that that Turning Point USA is a great group to join because it's nonpartisan and it focuses on the issues. And the way that you can get involved with Turning Point USA is to sign up on their websites. And we also have Facebook and Twitters up for other local chapters around the country. If you sign up and you email Charlie Kirk, who's the founder, or myself at Benji@BenjiBacker.com, you can figure out what you need to do to start a chapter around the country. Because, you know, if you're in high school or college and you don't have an organization like Turning Point USA at your school, it would be great to start one up, because education is the most important thing in this country that we need to do to help solve our political problems. So, you know, if you're 10, 12, 14, 16, or 18, or even older or younger, you should check out our website, sign up, contact our staff, and figure out how you can start a chapter by emailing or contacting us.
And Benji, that's so important, because even somebody that's 14 years old now, they can vote in the next presidential election, more than likely, depending on when their birthday is. So
correct.
It's very important to get started now. And one of the things I was going to looking at young revolutions, we look back in the 1960s, and there was of course, what's called a counter-revolution, a culture revolution, and, you know, there was a big anti-war movement against the Vietnam War mixed with the upsurge of rock music, and the youth demographics is the baby boomers coming of age. That is something that really changed the face of America. What would it take to get something to get people to understand what this country is going to be, you know, is going to drop down in like a third world country with a debt problem? So how do you get people to say it's not what we're building, it's what we got to stop spending? How do you communicate that, Benji? Well, wait a minute, Benji. I know that's a long question, but let me just jump in and remind everybody, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. I'm your host. We're here talking with Benji Backer. And Benji is one of our young students in America that's excited that other students are joining him and complaining about this national debt and want to do something about it. So good for Benji. We just asked this long question, and we're going to get Benji to give his answer. But first, let me remind you can go to my website. Just click on the front page, go there, and check out some of the books we got, great conservative books. We'll be glad to hear from you. So check out our website. Also, I want to remind you that one of our sponsors, Freedom Works for America, is the grassroots strategies that they use, the strategies that have proven effective all over the country. And sometimes they even work against long odds. And these guys at Freedom Works, they know where grassroots conservatives need to organize, and they know how to train activists. So believe me, folks, I know. I've been there to training sessions, and there's a great group of people. Frankly, I don't know where they find time to live their lives. They're so busy getting everything together for Freedom Works, for freedom across America. So our hats off to Freedom Works. Go visit them. You can check right there on our homepage and click over, and you get right to Freedom Works. Now, let's get back. I just asked this long question about what Benji is going to do to get other young people excited about getting a cultural change against this massive American debt that's being a burden on our next generation. Okay, Benji, we're ready for your answer now.
Well, I think, you know, as a nation, our students are usually looked at as to being more on the liberal side, and I find that wrong. I find that incorrect. I believe on the social side of issues, you find students more to be on the left side. But on fiscal issues that deal with the economy, you will find almost 9 times out of 10, in my opinion, the students are on the right side, the Republican side. You know, there are so many ways to get students involved, and it's surprising to me. I started a local Young Republicans Club before I switched it into a Turning Point USA chapter. 200 members in the first 4 months. Now, Fox Valley is Appleton and around that in Wisconsin, and we have about 200,000 people in the Fox Valley. Now, 200 members in that short amount of time from high schools and colleges is almost unheard of. but anywhere in the country they can do that. Students are more interested in politics than the general public thinks. It's not that hard to get your message across. They will listen. They are interested. You know, if you talk to students about the presidential election here in 2012, almost everyone had their own view, whether it was educated or not. They still had their own view. Students are interested enough to listen to the message, and our message is a message that I believe the majority of students in America would listen to, would take into perspective, and would support our view on the issue of the debt and other fiscal issues. So, you know, it's not that hard. It's pretty easy to get our message across to young voters, unlike, you know, the general public thinks.
Well, Benji, that now let me ask you a tough question, and I'm glad that so many signed up, and it looks like the chapter's opening up well, but just like you said, 9 out of 10 if you talk to, now if you go into downtown Philadelphia, where precincts voted 5,000 and 6,000 for Obama, and zero, actually, you know, statistically impossible, but zero for Mitt Romney. Now, how do you communicate to the urban population that votes overwhelmingly Democrat for programs and they don't want any spending cuts? So how do you communicate and educate in the urban communities?
Well, the urban communities, I believe, are just as easy to get your message across to, because I believe a lot of times the urban communities are a lot less educated. Students get educated in the urban or the rural areas. It's still the same. They still will take it into perspective. They still will listen. And it's not like rural people are born different than the urban people. They still will think about the issues. And, you know, I think that when you say, or not when you say, but when the media says the Republicans or conservatives won't get the urban areas, I think that's wrong. I think that that's totally incorrect. I just think that they need to be educated more, taught to more, and not just the students, the adults too. And once we get our message across, which I believe it'll still be just as easy to get it across in urban than it is in rural, I think you get a more educated vote, and I think you get more of a, you know, even vote in the urban cities.
Let me ask you another question, Benji, changing subjects a little bit. Going back, when I was talking about the 1960s cultural revolution, but there was a part that went along with that movement, and it included songs and poetry and art, and encompassed the whole movement. Do you think there could be a movement in the youth to counteract this outrageous spending and the debt burdens being put on them? Do you see things in the art community? Do you see things that you have groups or bands writing songs about, you know, these crazy idiots spending all the money that, you know, borrowing money on our backs? Have you seen any art that's leaning itself towards your cause?
I do. I mean, I live in the state of Wisconsin, and I've seen the, you know, the Democrats sing songs in Madison, but on the, you know, the more right side, look at the Tea Party, for example.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Tea Party Express is a great example. You know, when they go through your city or town on their bus tour, you're going to see songs almost after every speech. And, you know, with the new technology, there's going to be a mix. There's going to be the groups like the Tea Party, and maybe even groups like Turning Point USA, which will use the art. But we're also using a different kind of art at Turning Point USA. We're using pictures. We use memes. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Now, what's that?
A meme is a picture with a caption on it. And, you know, we have many on our website at turningpointusa.net. And they're a picture with a caption with your view on something that's funny, something that can educate the person. You know, if you've got a clock with the debt, you know, you can post something on the top with a caption, something on the bottom to help educate. Some of them are funny, but all of them have the same message. All of them have a message to them to help educate the people that are looking at the memes. And, you know, there are different things around the country with technology and, you know, things that aren't with technology, like singing and dancing and, you know, playing drums, writing songs. But I think we've come to an era where we're going to have both. We're going to have the technology kind of art, and we're going to have the artsy art, you know, more old-fashioned. And I think that they're both still a great possibility in a political campaign.
And you've opened that up, you know, for social media. Five, 10 years ago, nobody was doing Facebook. In this last campaign, you had Facebook, you had you know, Twitter going off. There's something else out there, I'm sure, that's about to explode on the scene that nobody's ever heard of. But do you see your movement, Turning Point USA, do you see it encompassing all the social media that will put pressure for people to get better educated?
Yeah, I mean, we have a huge following on Facebook. Last time I checked, we had about 13,000 likes on our page. I haven't checked recently, but we also have chapter pages, which has, you know, between 25 and a couple hundred likes per chapter. It's such a big deal, and it's such an easy way to connect with people that it's going to be a huge part for the next few years to come. I think Twitter is one of the best ways, if not the best way, to get your message across on social media. I have about 1,970 followers on my Twitter, and it's a great way to get out to my followers and share my views. Turning Point USA has about 2,400 followers, and, you know, it's very easy to get your message out on Twitter and Facebook. It's very easy to share your views to the public. And, you know, it's going to be an easy way for us to connect with people, to have us get new members, get new contributors, and get new staff members through Twitter and Facebook. And like you said, there could be another thing coming up that we have never even heard of before.
Well, I enjoy talking to you and your intelligence and knowing that there's somebody that's gung-ho to try to help save America. I've seen the Tea Party movement have a lot of older folks, a lot of people retired, and there's all ages in Tea Party, but they didn't get the job done the last election. And so there's going to have to be creating an atmosphere where people say, we may not agree with everything you want, but we agree we got to cut the debt, we got to get this debt off the backs of our children. So I'm hoping people will be willing to work with you and you working with other people. But the question, one of the biggest things that I find it's hard to communicate is people hear, well, we're borrowing another $1 trillion. And I think in the most Americans' minds, they say a trillion, a billion, a million, you know, I know it's high, I don't care. But there is a tremendous difference between a million and a trillion. So how do you communicate that to the youth?
Well, I think the student debt clock is a great example of how we can communicate it, because, yep, $16 trillion is a number that a lot of people don't understand, but if you break it down into segments per student, they can actually understand, because $823,000 is obviously pretty close to $1 million.
Right.
And when you get around that $1 million range, students still understand. Once you get a little bit higher than that, you know, it's just a big number, like you said. But when students see that they're going to have to pay $823,000, at my age, I'd say most people have an idea that their parents probably make under $50,000 or between $50,000 and $100,000 a year, maybe less or more, but they have a broader idea of what money is like. You know, once you get up to the $16 trillion, they're not going to know. But when you break it down to $823,000, you're going to get your message across. The students will take notice, and they'll realize that, boy, can I even pay that off? And
yeah,
I think that's a great way to start.
And a lot of them say, hey, I want to make that money, and I want to spend it and have fun with it. And then you say, hey, this is what you owe before you can even think about socking away some money. Because I've heard student after student tell me they don't expect to ever get any Social Security, and they don't expect – there's so much that they realize out there that is not good looking down the road. And how do you get somebody to say it's not good and get motivated to do something about it? I guess that's how you finding people are motivated, and when they understand, when they get educated, do they say, I want to do something about it? I want to help save my future?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've seen, like I said, I have 200 members of my group. Most of them volunteered in the last election. You know, obviously it was the Youth Republicans, but, you know, the Young Democrats and the Independents all have a lot of students that are motivated to get involved, too. And, I've come across many students. I had one the other day. I was talking about the student debt clock, and I showed it to him, and he had no interest in politics at all. I showed it to him, and he said this. He's like, oh, my gosh. He's like, I've got to pay all that off. I don't even know if I'll be able to. And I'm like, well, that's exactly right. I'm like, but you can make a difference. And once students realize that they can make a difference at such a young age, they will. Because, you know, when I was 12, I didn't think that I could make a difference in politics because I didn't think that I could because I was too young. But once they realize that they can make a difference, it's just like anything else. It's just like football. People will join. People will participate, and people will make a difference in their, you know, sport or their, you know, musical theater production. And once they realize they can get into politics at such a young age, they will participate in that as well.
All right, folks, that's Benji Backer. And, man, isn't it great to hear a young voice, somebody that can communicate and someone who gets it that this debt bomb is going to unload on the young generation. They got to get the message out. So hats off to Benji. Go to TurningPointUSA.net. Check out their website at www.TurningPointUSA.net. And we're so glad that Benji came on the program with us. And there's a Charlie, I believe, is the head of that organization. We'll try to get him on sometime in the next few weeks or next couple months, because I'm telling you, this is what I told you last year. We got to get the young people involved. And even those who are 14, 15 years old, because they'll be voting in 4 more years, we got to get the young people to understand their future is in severe danger. And I think there's no doubt Benji knows that. A couple takeaways from Benji. Number one, it's just great to hear someone excited about knowing they can make a difference, and they got to communicate how dangerous the future is if we don't get this debt under control. And it's great to hear it from Benji. But another thing I got from it is the fact that he's excited about getting people to rally behind this message and rally behind. It's like we heard Jim Morrison sing, "Come on, baby, light my fire." Well, we need the fire lit to get the people motivated, or somebody out of this national debt. If we let our president and these far-out liberals keep spending, they're going to light the fire of the debt bomb, okay? And the debt bomb is going to be lit, and it's going to blow us up to kingdom come, and we're going to go fall into a third-world country if we don't get this message out. Benji has got some excitement, and I'm glad to hear it. His voice, and glad to know that people are rallying behind him. And, you know, they don't have the numbers we got here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, but I hope they'll grow just like we're growing. And because of you, we are growing, and we're going to keep bringing you solutions just like Benji Backer's voice. And we want you to get out there, help him out, help out the young people. Tell the young people in your life to go to this website at www.turningpointusa.net. Tell them to get a chapter in their school. Get them a chapter on their college campus. And now, this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, I got to give it. And for our new listeners that don't hear us every week and haven't heard our show before, we give out the Tombstone of the Week Award to someone who has said something or done something, their actions, that should be buried 6 feet in the ground beneath a tombstone. So this week's award goes to none other than a former AIG CEO, Maurice Greenberg. Now, his investment firm is Star International, the main shareholder of AIG. And if those who don't remember, AIG was in bad situation, and that's where we get this term too big to fail. They said they were too big to fail, and the whole economy would go under all across America and across the world if they didn't shore up this company, because it was so huge. This big insurance firm, and they had gotten in derivatives and all kind of things. They just lost billions of dollars. And they were in bad trouble. And the United States government came in and bailed them out. You remember that. And guess what? Maurice Greenberg, their former CEO, is bringing a lawsuit against the United States government because they said they failed to provide adequate compensation to Star and other AIG shareholders while taking an 80% stake in the insurance firm. Listen, their shares would be worth diddly, zero. They would be nothing. They would be painting or plastering their wall with their shares of worthless paper if it hadn't been for the United States government and the U.S. taxpayer, you and me, if we hadn't come in. And now the former CEO, Maurice Greenberg, is filing a $25 billion suit against the U.S. government, American taxpayers. And once again, I think the lawyers are just wanting to sink their teeth into something so they can get some money. But I will say this, AIG, their board, voted not to participate in a lawsuit. And thank goodness. This is just a publicity nightmare if you're AIG. And they should be embarrassed, but they should be very embarrassed. I mean, it's like rubbing salt in the wound. Have you ever cut yourself and put some alcohol on it and you know how it burns? I tell you what, there's going to be some burned out public outcry. And if this suit goes on, I think there should be more and more outcry. But that's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Next week, let me tell you, we got author Murray Holland coming on. We talked about the debt bomb. You've heard Benji Backer talk about the young people getting involved over this debt. But we're going to talk to Murray Holland, who has written a book called The Debt Trap. And he spells out the condition that we're entering, and he's got some solutions for us. He's going to talk about that next week, so be sure to listen, and we'll have Murray Holland on. Until then, God bless America. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.